Good evening and welcome to the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors Business Meeting. Today is Thursday, July 16th, 2026. The time is now 7:12. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll do roll call, beginning with my right.
Bill Genoway.
Tina Garzillo.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
Kaylee Melcher from the Solicitor's Office.
Jarrett Lash, Township Planner.
Al Vanatilli, Township Engineer.
Next item on the agenda is approval of our meeting minutes for June 4th, 2026 for a zoning workshop, June 4th, 2026 BOS workshop, June 11th, 2026 for a business meeting, February 26, 2026, comprehensive plan meeting, and June 25th, 2026, comprehensive plan meeting as well. Was everyone present for all of these meetings? Yes, okay. May I entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to do these minutes. So, thank you.
Okay. Any discussion about the minutes at all? All in favor of accepting the meeting minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0. And I was remiss during roll call that I did not mention that Supervisor Greg Phillips is not able to attend the meeting tonight, so he is absent from our meeting. Next item on the agenda is Chairperson's comments. And the only comment I have for this evening is I wanted to do an announcement for a save the date. I wanted to announce the second annual ECDC Township-wide Week of Service. The dates for this year will be September 16th through September 19th, and this will be an opportunity for our businesses, for our residents, community groups, township partners to participate in a meaningful service opportunity. Whether you have 1 hour, 2 hours, a few hours, your contribution can make a big difference, and every project helps to make Upper Marion a better place to work, live, and connect. From cleaning up public spaces, supporting neighbors in need, each activity is a chance to give back to our community. So again, that week of service through our Citizen Board ECDC, the dates are September 16th through September 19th. Next on the agenda is our monthly announcement from one of our departments. This is through Public Works, but it's specifically Norview Farms. We have some new residents at Norview Farm, and that would be four, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but it's Narragansett Turkey Chicks. So when the families come out there to spend time at our farm, make sure that you check out the little turkey chicks out there. So this particular breed was kept at George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate. So we have some historical, famous turkey chicks. Service that's been conducted at the farm. We've been doing wood sales, and it's become a very popular service for our residents to take advantage of. So far, they've been able to sell 65 bundles, and these trees come from some of our parkland, so we take down trees, and our Norview farm team came up with the idea that we can incorporate this into one of our services. So we're selling this as firewood from some of our park trees that have come down. Another thing we're doing at Norview is our pavilion rentals, and that rental program has taken off really well. So far, for just the summer, we've rented out the pavilion 37 times. Another new item that was added at Norview is fire pits for rental. So in the evenings, now it's been too hot to probably want to sit around a fire pit, but especially when the fall's coming around the corner, if you wanted to come out there and do s'mores, there are chairs that are set up in a circle around a fire pit. A nice thing to do in the evening with your friends and family. The goat playground that we have there at the farm has been reconstructed. It has a new decking and fresh paint. We held the World Cup watch parties at Norview this year to great success, so that was a lot of fun. A lot of people showed up for that. So that was a new thing we're trying, and I think we'll be probably doing some more things like that. For our fall festival coming up this year, there will be a new corn maze, and it's going to be themed in honor of America 250. New vendors for this year for the Fall Fun Festival is Stocks Bakery, and there's another one. That's only one on my list, is Stocks Bakery. Oktoberfest will be on October 26, 2026 this year. They are remodeling the public restrooms there, so that'll be a changeover there, and constructing a turnout shed for horses in the large pasture, and working on upgrades to the playground. That's it primarily. So if no one has been to the Norview Farm, excellent amenity for our township. It's preserved as open space, and we have our farmer's market there every Saturday. Next on the agenda is the list of our citizen boards and commissions for vacancies. The list of vacancies is for the Community Center Board, one vacancy. For EAC, for a young adult member, one vacancy. For the Library Board, for a young adult, one vacancy. Media Communications Board, one vacancy. Media Communication Board, for a young adult, one vacancy. For Shade Tree Commission, one vacancy. Shade Tree Commission, one vacancy for a young adult. One vacancy for the Upper Marion Historical Commission. And then finally, one vacancy for the Zoning Hearing Board for an alternate member. All right, the next item on the agenda is for public comment. Public comment occurs in two places on our agenda. For this first area of public comment, this is for any item that is an agenda item. So if anyone in the public would like to speak about something on the agenda, that would be for now. And then after our business is conducted, we have another opportunity for a public comment on unrelated agenda items.
Good evening. Thank you, Chairperson Garzillo. My name is Chris Bosler. I'm the Director of Capital Projects and Planning for King of Prussia District, and I'm here to speak on the Amazon project at 760 Moore Road. The statement that I was going to read is as follows. King of Prussia District asks that the Board of Supervisors require Amazon to build the 8-foot-wide multimodal trail along Moore Road and the 6-foot-wide sidewalk on West Valley Forge Road, as outlined in the KPMU zoning ordinance and design guidelines for verges, planting beds, pedestrian lighting, trash cans, benches, and any other amenities listed in the ordinance, and provide the necessary public access easements along Moore Road and West Valley Forge Road, Route 23, for the common use. We also ask that the township not accept a fee in lieu from the applicant, and that these streetscapes improvements be part of their land use development project, which they would be building. We had from my understanding, there was an understanding, conversation between our director, Eric Goldstein, president CEO of the King of Prussia District, and members of Amazon team, that they would be building the multimodal trail on Moore Road to meet the guidelines we've specified along the First Avenue multimodal trail and linear park. And then we would be, King of Prussia District, working in conjunction with the township and PennDOT. We would be working on securing the multimodal trail along West Valley Forge Road. The fee in lieu that, from my understanding, that's been proposed is nowhere near the amount that would be necessary to build that trail along Moore Road. Our estimate provided by our project engineer, TPD, listed it as $736,000, and that was including all the amenities that you can find along First Avenue. And that's the statement that I'd like to provide. Thank you.
Seeing none, we'll move along. The next item on the agenda is proclamation to honor Parks and Recreation Professional Day in July, and July is considered Park and Recreation Month. Supervisor Kenny will be reading the proclamation, but I wanted to make an announcement prior to her reading that we actually lost one of our members, staff members, in Parks and Rec 2 days ago. Brian Sell, who was a program coordinator and also liaison for our Upper Marion Farmers Market, he passed a few days ago. Brian will be greatly missed. He was an asset to our organization and just a wonderful person. And unexpectedly, we've lost him, and I know that the ones that know him can share some wonderful stories about his contributions to our township. And I just wanted to acknowledge Brian tonight just by sharing his passing.
Okay, thank you. So I'll dedicate this proclamation to the memory of Brian Sell. Upper Marion Township Proclamation, July as Park and Recreation Month, July 17th, 2026, as Park and Recreation Professionals Day. Whereas the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors recognizes that the parks and recreation field is a diverse and comprehensive system that improves personal, social, environmental, and economic health. And whereas the Board of Supervisors recognizes the importance and benefits of park and recreation services that enrich the lives of its citizens and help make this community a desirable place to live, work, and visit. And whereas the Board of Supervisors supports the skilled work of park and recreation professionals to strengthen community cohesion and resiliency, connect people with nature and each other, and provide and promote opportunities for healthful living, social equity, and environmental sustainability. And whereas the Board of Supervisors values the essential services that park and recreation professionals and volunteers perform to provide recreational and developmental enrichment for our children, youth, adults, and older adults, and to ensure our parks and recreational spaces are are clean, safe, inclusive, welcoming, and ready to use. Therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim July 17th, 2026, as Park and Recreation Professionals Day in Upper Marion Township. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors that July is recognized as Park and Recreation Month in Upper Marion Township, adopted this 16th day of July, 2026, attested by Anthony Hamaday, Township Manager, and signed by the Board of Supervisors Chairperson, Tina Garzillo. Okay, thank you.
Next item on the agenda, item 9B, preliminary land development application for 727 West DeKalb Pike and 113 Crockett Road. Consideration of a preliminary land development plan of JM Real Estate Holdings prepared by Boulder Engineers dated June 28, 2024, last revised January 6, 2025, including waivers as noted in the resolution for the construction of a 2,650 square foot commercial building and associated site improvements on the 0.43 acre parcel. It's zoned C1 limited commercial and it's located in the commercial limited zoning district. This is resolution number 2026-21.
Good evening, everyone. Amy Farrell with Kaplan Stewart. Good to see you all again. This is the plan in substantial conformity with the plan that you saw at workshop last month, and we do have a resolution with all of the waivers identified in it. We're certainly happy to go through as much or as little as you'd like us to again this evening. Given that you just saw it, I don't know how much detail you want, and of course, happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
I don't know if do we need to see the go through the waivers for the waivers. Yes.
All right, through waivers.
If you could please go through the waivers, at least for the general public to have an understanding of what that is before we make a decision.
Sure. And I'm going to have John Alinikoff come up as well in case there's any questions related specifically to any of those waivers. I think the first one is requiring. This is a partial waiver to require the minimum allowable pipe size to be 15 inches. Excuse me, John, if you want to just give a general summary of what
yes,
that is.
Yes, and that's just related to roof drain sizes, simply because they don't need to be 15 inches in size. 4 inches is large enough to convey roof drain flow. All the other pipes on site will meet the requirement of 15 inches.
Yeah, maybe you should go to the other mic.
Is that
mic? Yeah, I can see this one over here. Sorry about that.
The second one is a waiver from 18A2. This is, again, a partial waiver from the requirement that grading be set back 5 feet from the property lines. I know Supervisor Janaway has historically had some concerns about that waiver. We did go through that one specifically here.
Yes, we went through it. I'm okay with this on this particular site. And just while you're saying that, there is currently a dwelling that sits to the back side of this property, which you are taking down.
Correct.
And that's part of the reason for going 5 feet to the property line.
Correct.
So we have to in order to take the house
right, down. In order to take it down and plant the buffer back there, we need to be within 5 feet. The next waiver is 14510E, and that's a dual waiver. It's to reduce the minimum stopping site distance for a local road and to permit a cartway width of less than 28 feet on existing Crockett Road. So again, this is the existing conditions on that roadway. We don't think it makes a lot of sense to widen. We would have to take land on both sides in order to make that happen for that street. So again, John can give you any additional detail you might need.
And I just add for the street width, this this road is one way, so we wouldn't necessarily want to widen it to confuse people. And in terms of the site distance, we are in compliance with PennDOT requirements for site distance. And really the layout is really driven by the existing cross access that's in there. So we're kind of tied to where things need to be on the site, but we do comply with PennDOT requirements.
The next one is 145-15B. This again, tied to the Crockett Road cartway width. For same reasons that we just went through. 14524-1D2E is a waiver from the planting island requirement within the parking lot.
And just to point out, this is a waiver for location, not quantity of trees. There are a large number of trees on site, but there is a planting island on the right-hand side of that of the plan there that we just can't locate a tree in due to utility conflicts and it just being a tight site overall.
Right, so to reiterate that, we more than satisfy the tree replacement and landscape and buffering requirements in totality on the site. We're just looking to relocate that one. The next one is 14524.1E2D. Again, this is a partial waiver, and this is for similar reasons, is to permit what would be the third required street tree along West DeKalb to be located elsewhere on the property. And again, that has to do with conflicts with the new sidewalk that's going in, existing utility lines, and the length of frontage that we have there. So again, it will be located on the site. We're not asking to not plant it. It's just not along that frontage. The next is 241H1C from the minimum width of planting areas adjacent to the building specifically, and John can give you a little more detail about that.
Yeah, that's related to the planting areas that you see adjacent to the parking and the building. Again, we're tied from a location standpoint where the driveway can be, so we're kind of tied to where things can be. I'll point out that we are meeting minimum area requirements. It's just simply the depth that we're not meeting for the planting areas.
The next is, a pretty typical one that you're used to seeing, 26A, to allow for a preliminary final plan approval rather than a two-stage plan. The next one is from 27A and 29A. Again, I think this is a pretty standard one for you. It's to permit the plan scale to be less than 50 feet and to allow for the benchmarks to be to be based on the PA State Plan Coordinate System NAD 1983 datum, which I think means something to the engineers in the room, perhaps not to anyone else. And finally, a waiver from 27A14, 29A18, and 20A.I21, which is a waiver to allow us to use an aerial plan and to show existing conditions beyond 200 feet of the property. And again, I think that's a fairly standard waiver.
Okay, let's entertain a motion and then we can enter into discussion after that.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Vice Chair Bill Janaway, seconded by Supervisor Wax. Discussion on this property. For me, the waiver requests are reasonable, and it's inherent to this particular property, and they make sense to me. So I don't have an issue with any of the waivers myself. I don't know. Any other discussion?
I would agree. The ones that we've talked about, I believe, are necessary due to the location, size, style of that property, and the fact that you are purchasing the property to the rear, which essentially is doubling the size of that lot,
right,
which makes it a little more compatible.
Compatible. And it'll definitely be an improvement in that area.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah, I think we would all agree.
Yes. All right, no other discussion. We're in a position to take a vote on this. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0.
Thanks, good seeing you all. Take care.
Good to see you as well. Okay, moving along, next item, 9C, preliminary final land development plan for 760 Moore Road. Consideration of a preliminary final land development plan of Amazon Services, LLC, prepared by Boulder Engineers, dated October 22nd, 2025, last revised May 29th, 2026. It's an upside down 2026, including waivers as noted in the resolution for the construction of a 98,500 square foot Amazon warehouse and distribution facility, associated traffic and on-site parking, and stormwater improvements on the 21.43 acre parcel. Zoning district is the KPMU King of Prussia Mixed Use Zoning District. The resolution number is 2026-23. And if representatives would like to come forward, introduce yourself, and we can hear from you.
Good evening, Denise Yarnoff on behalf of Amazon. This is an application you guys have seen a number of times. Obviously, we report the Planning Commission and it was recommended for approval. We were at your last two workshop sessions and went through this in great detail. We're happy to do a presentation again if you'd like us to. Otherwise, we're happy to answer any questions that you have.
And I believe, similar to the last presentation, if we could go through the waivers just for the public,
sure,
to have an understanding of what that is.
I think I'll just let you do it.
When you get to that one, okay. Hi, everyone. Lindsay Brailinger with Bowler. Nice to see you all again. I'll run through the waivers, and just to stop me if you have any questions as I go through them. The first one is from Section 140.14b2a1a to allow basin number 3 to completely infiltrate or empty in over 72 hours. So this basin is an MRC basin, managed release concept, which is a newer type of system in the PADEP manual. So it is meeting the DEP requirements for this type of facility, which is exceeding the 72 hours in the ordinance, however, meeting the state regulations. The second waiver is a partial waiver from Section 140.15b2c to allow for the diameter of the storm pipes to be less than 15 inches. Same exact reasoning from the prior applicant. These are for the roof drain lines. And also the lines have been sized so that they can completely convey the 100-year storm at being 75% full. So we're still meeting the 100-year design storm in those roof drains. Number 3 is a partial waiver from Section 145.27a.13, 145.29a.18, 27a.14, 29a.21, to allow for an aerial photograph showing the existing features within 200 feet in lieu of a full survey. So anywhere that we are providing any work to be done or any grading, we do have survey in those locations. But for the remaining portions, we are providing an aerial photograph that has a scale as well. Number 4 is a waiver from Section 145.10e to allow the cartway widths of less than 52 feet along West Valley Forge Road and more road site frontages. So as you all know, there's a PennDOT project along Valley Forge Road, which is why we are requesting the waiver along Valley Forge. In addition, along Moore Road, there's currently a four-lane cross-section, so we're requesting it along there as well with any future improvements that is in our understanding. Number five, a waiver from section 145.25C and 26A to allow for the combination of the preliminary and final submission at the same time. Number six is a waiver from section 145.24.1C4A to permit an alternate mix of the replacement tree requirement. So we're required 193 replacement trees. We are providing all of those trees. The requirement is for 190 to be shade trees and three of them to be evergreen or ornamental. Based on feedback that we've received from neighbors, they would like additional evergreen plantings along within this area. So instead of the shade trees, we're providing additional evergreen trees. We're providing 81 shade trees, 84 evergreen, and 28 ornamental, but still providing the quantity of trees that is required.
And then there was one additional potential waiver, and that was what was mentioned earlier having to do with the sidewalks. So our plans do show compliance with the ordinance requirements for sidewalks and trail along both road frontages. And we had talked with the board about the possibility of asking for a waiver and then providing the amount of money that would otherwise be spent on that work that could then be given to the township, potentially to then be given to the bid. But we don't need to request that waiver because our plans show the compliance as it is right now, unless this board wants it that way, and then we would ask for the waiver.
So the sidewalk trail system would be constructed by Amazon then?
By Amazon, and it will be in accordance with what's currently in your ordinance.
And does that meet what Mr. Basler was asking for?
It meets what the ordinance requires, but I believe that what they may have intended was something greater than that.
Okay. While you're looking, Madam Chair, I'll just ask our engineer, Mr. Vannatelli, are you okay with all of these waivers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we've reviewed them, and we're in agreement with them.
Okay. Thank you. I have a few comments, but I can do the motion.
And then is there a second?
I just made the motion, so yeah.
A second. Okay,
so let me make a few comments. First, generally speaking, I think the plan is a substantial improvement over what is currently there. I appreciate you meeting with the residents who live nearby. Obviously, many of them are my neighbors. I know they appreciated it as well. The new facility will be physically nicer than what's there. Stormwater management will be substantially better. I appreciate Amazon's second chance hiring programs and the environmental aspects that are part of the building and part of the fleet. If you can give me and give our residents a little bit more information on the timeline here with construction, with demolition, construction, so on and so forth.
The intention would be to start the demolition this fall, correct? With the ability to start construction beginning of next year, is that correct? Beginning of next year.
And construction of the facility would precede construction of the trail, or simultaneous, or the trail comes first, or I know it was laid out at the workshop meeting, I just don't recall.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we have that phasing of when. It seems like it would all be going on about the same time.
Yeah, I think since we would be building the sidewalk and trail, which is in the ordinance, it would likely be going at the exact same time.
Okay, and construction timeline is, I guess, your standard 12 to 18 months or something along those lines, or?
About a year.
Yeah. That's all I have for now.
Thank you.
Mostly for the public, I wanted to comment on that the footprint of the building that's being proposed is smaller than what's existing there, which also is going to decrease the impervious nature of that site. So smaller footprint, less imperviousness, so benefits as far as that. And then, of course, you'll take care of the stormwater management. Another item I wanted to mention is, and Supervisor Wax was the one that put this into motion, that we were concerned about the West Valley Forge Road, the speeding of vehicles, and just some dangerous situations that could potentially happen there. And you've agreed to put in signage that will address not having left-hand turns off of West Valley Forge Road during peak hours, so a.m., p.m., and I believe the morning hours were from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then the evening peak hours with no left turn would be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.?
Correct.
So I wanted to just put that on public record that that's also a part of the stipulation with possible approval.
Well, credit to also to Supervisor Phillips who raised the issue. I came up with a compromise. So
that's true. Yep. And did you want to address that, the comments? Since Supervisor Phillips isn't here, he had some concerns about traffic issues there, and I believe Supervisor...
He did ask that we reinforce those, that he does have concerns about the left-hand turns and about the length of that left turn lane. So I just wanted to put those on the record that he has those concerns. I believe that two things will help that. One is the stoplight that will go there. Until that time, I think it'll be a challenge, but hopefully the timing is going to mesh. The second item that I think Amazon needs to be aware of is that should that go awry and left-hand turn problems become an issue there, whether it's not doing or doing them when it's not in the right time, or whether that queue backs up more than what is anticipated by our traffic engineering design, that we may have to have some kind of an intervention in that process. So maybe 18 months, 2 years after it's open, we have to take a retroactive look at this and see exactly whether or not it's working. That being said, I'm wondering if the pork chops that are going to be put in there can be higher than what is normal and still be within engineering design criteria so that it would prevent people from just arbitrarily making the turns in or making the improper turn there. And obviously once you do it once, you're going to scratch your car, you're going to scratch your tires, or you're going to get caught on that higher curbing that would be part of that pork chop. Matt, is that an option? And the reason I bring it up is we have one of these scenarios at our own property at the Township Community Center, and people constantly make that left-hand turn there. And while there aren't a lot of accidents, the number of near misses is scary.
Sure. So basically you're saying instead of the typical mountable concrete pork chop that you would put in maybe like a raised curb type pork chop.
In the same position as a pork chop.
Exactly. Yeah, it's absolutely something we can investigate. Obviously, anything that we do with that driveway is subject to PennDOT review and approval, but we can absolutely look at implementing something like that in lieu of a concrete pork chop. Mountable concrete pork chop. I would also point out to your comment before about how the left turn lane, looking at it retroactively, Route 23 is a PennDOT roadway, so we need to seek a highway occupancy permit from PennDOT. So once the driveway is constructed and the permit is closed out, there is a 2-year maintenance period that we must adhere to with PennDOT where they hold back some of the money that is put out for the letter of credit. So there's a 2-year look back, and there has been instances in the past where slight tweaks have been requested by PennDOT depending on certain situations. So in this instance, we would have another 2-year period where it's possible that the township or PennDOT, at least PennDOT, could come back and say, is there anything that we can do differently here to improve the situation if, in fact, there is some sort of issue?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
But yes, if you could take a look at that and see what an option might be there. And I'm sure that would be okay with Amazon. Okay. Two other things. When we last met, we talked about the PICO adequacy letter. Have we received that, Mr. Lash?
We have not been provided with the adequacy letter yet.
I think we need that, Madam Chair, before we do the various permissions on this. The last thing I have really has nothing to do with the plan. It has everything to do with behavioral management and past experience with Amazon. When your facility was up on American Avenue, we had three significant issues. Speeding of drivers in the vehicles for delivery, the movement of the vehicles from there down to the Wawa and tying up the Wawa, and that's before they put electric chargers in, and that there are now another 16 parking spaces that are no longer available for them. And of course, that's where they would get their coffee and do their exchange of packages and do their rerouting or whatever it is. I just want to reinforce that if those kinds of scenarios occur again, that the complaints will come. They will come not to you, they'll come to this board, and this board will have to take action. So from a corporate management perspective, I hope that you can manage the behaviors of those drivers, because I don't want to see them create the challenges that we had in the past and get the complaints to us, and then we have to take actions.
We do understand that, and you had met previously another person from Amazon, Mara Kennedy, and she will be a direct contact, as she said, to the township. So we will address those issues if they arise.
Thank you.
If I could just add something, and then I'll be done, I think. I just want to add something to Mr. Genoway's comments. The traffic light at Valley Forge Road and Mansell Mill Road will actually precede Amazon's construction, most likely, because the traffic light at Mansell Mill Road and Valley Forge Road is tied to the number of permits issued for the townhome complex off of Mansell Mill Road. And it sounds like, with the way they're building there, there's a really good chance that traffic light will go in this year, which will give us some real world data as to the way people are behaving at that intersection. That's all I got.
Okay, and if I can go back to the entry and the exiting onto 23, will that be tractor trailers going in and out of that location, or will those tractor trailers that you would have be only on Moore Road?
That's correct, only on Moore Road.
Okay, so only smaller vehicles? Will your delivery trucks be coming out of the 23 exit?
The vans.
Going in there too?
The vans would be using that access point.
Okay, so it'll be. But they're the smaller vehicles.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I wanted to just clarify that. Thank you.
And I want to direct to our solicitor the letter of adequacy through PICO, that will have to be coordinated, that we will need to have that.
We actually have that right now, and I apologize that it didn't get forwarded yet, but we can forward it right now to Jared, so he'll have it on his computer.
All we had to do was ask.
Exactly.
Wish it was always this simple.
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments? Oh.
Just to be clear, the fee in lieu is not part of this approval, correct?
The fee in lieu for the sidewalk is, that waiver is not being requested.
Okay.
All in favor of approving this preliminary final land development plan, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This passes 4-0.
Thank you very much for all your time and efforts over the last year working on this.
Thank you.
Now we go into the consent agenda, and please be patient. You're going to have to listen to me for a few minutes here. First item on the consent agenda, authorization to purchase broadcast and streaming systems for UMGA TV. The total cost for the cable cast acquisition and implementation is $32,000. Number two, supplemental budget appropriation for an increase in the amount of $95,000 to purchase a new wood chipper with funds from a recycling grant. Number three, supplemental budget appropriation in the amount of $12,480 from the 2017 bond proceeds for unexpected repair costs to the pool facility due to sewer line breaks. Number four, accepting the resignation of Tom Kozachowski from the Community Center Advisory Board. Number five, another resignation by Laura Lee Bontefonte, young adult member from the Media Communications Advisory Board. Number six, accept letter of extension for 826 West DeKalb Pike in King of Prussia, VMDT Partnership LP until October 31st, 2026. Number seven, authorization for the township manager to sign real estate tax settlement stipulations. First one for UDR Valley Forge LLC, 140 Valley Green Lane for tax years 2025 to 2026, resulting in the overpayment of real estate taxes in the amount of $23,657.18. The next one, Smith Owner LLC at 580 South Goddard Boulevard for tax years 2025 to 2026, resulting in the overpayment of real estate taxes in the amount of $49,966.18. And the last one, Vandenberg Owner LLC, 751 Vandenberg Road for tax years 2025 to 2026, resulting in the overpayment of real estate taxes in the amount of $16,150.54. Number eight, authorize the township solicitor to attend the zoning hearing board regarding 738 River Road and 177 Belmont Road. Number nine, Recharge Park, approval of payment application number eight in the amount of $5,278.84 by the KOP bid to Patriot Grounds and Site Services of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania for contract services performed to date to be paid utilizing Monco 2040 grant funds for the project and as recommended by the landscape architect. Number 10, Moore Road Multimodal Trail, approval of invoice number five in the amount of $1,500 to Traffic Planning Design, Inc. of Pottstown, Pennsylvania for contract services performed to date to be paid utilizing Commonwealth Financing Authority grant funds for the project and as recommended by the KOP district. Number 11, Resolution 2026-24, requests a multimodal transportation fund grant of $1,500,000 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for the Moore Road Multimodal Trail and Linear Park construction. Number 12, approve a fee in lieu of stormwater management for 1160 First Avenue, Valley Forge Casino Steakhouse in the amount of $178,735.01. Number 13, revised service agreement, Keystone and Integrated Services, which is Cornerstone, approval of a campaign services agreement with Keystone Integrated Services for the collection of the township's voluntary ambulance subscription program as required by the Pennsylvania Department of State. Number 14, memorandum of agreement with the U.S. Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, approval of an agreement with the U.S. Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms for the reimbursement of overtime salary costs associated with the ATF task force operations, including the FIFA World Championships. Number 15, financial escrow bond release, which is the final, for Exeter 555 Flint Hill Road, LLC, land development. Approval of final escrow release, bond release to Exeter 555 Flint Hill Road, LLC, in the amount of $2,311,218.25 for completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project, subject to the payment of all outstanding fees. And then finally, number 16, business tax settlement appeal. Approval of a business tax appeal in the amount of $1,266.69, representing partial late fees. They may have a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Supervisor Kenny, seconded by Vice Chair Genoway. Any discussion about any items on the consent agenda? All in favor of accepting the consent agenda items, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Okay, next item on the agenda, accounts payable and payrolls.
Motion to pay the accounts payable and payrolls.
Is there a second? Oh, you didn't even get in on that. Let them. She got it, the second. Any discussion about accounts payable and payrolls? No. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We're going to have a no on that one. Okay. Any additional business from anyone on the board?
Two quick items, Madam Chair, if nobody else does.
Please.
The first item is in the monthly Township News newsletter from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Upper Marion Township received three recognitions for our communications efforts. The first is second place statewide for our electronic newsletter. The next one is third place. We were tied with that dreaded Cranberry Township from Western PA and that dreaded Montgomery Township from Montgomery County. We were tied with them for third place in multimedia communications, and we were one of three townships who received second place for websites, along with Mill Creek Township and West Bradford Township. So congrats to our media team. The second thing that I wanted to point out, the weather outside is frightful, and this past weekend we had an incident involving carbon monoxide and a generator and an individual having to be transported to the hospital as a result of the carbon monoxide being generated from the generator and entering into the dwelling. So three things come to mind in hot weather. The first is stay cool, whether that means drinking plenty of fluids or staying in air-conditioned areas or at least having a fan, make sure you're doing that. The added challenge that we have right now is from the wildfires from Canada, and that's creating difficult breathing situations. If you were outside at all today, you noticed it. If you were out this morning, it was substantially less challenging than it is right now outside. So therein lies another respiratory type problem. But it's most important for you to check on your neighbors, particularly if they are elderly, if they are handicapped, and if they just need help in any way, shape, or form. Take 5 minutes, go out into that treacherous heat, and go over and say hi to them, take them a bottle of water or some an iced tea or something, and just check on them and make sure they're okay. And if you do have a generator, please make sure you have a carbon monoxide detector in your house, and make sure that it is a functional carbon monoxide detector so that if something bad does happen, that you're going to be alerted. Generators, when running, should never be placed in a garage, should never be placed indoors. They should always be outdoors, preferably 5 feet away from your dwelling and not near any intake area, and that's your HVAC unit, that's a window or a door. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward to make public comment, please introduce yourself.
Hello, Vicki Lovino, 761 Crooked Lane. I'm here again to demand a welcoming resolution in our township that covers every employee, resource, and asset. In my time this past 4 months working on teams to release people illegally detained, I have learned a lot, and mostly I've learned how fragile the system is, especially here. For one person that was released, it ended up being a Pennsylvania Republican that made the call. We were asked not to share details because he didn't want to jeopardize votes. I also learned this official is one of the only reasons why Philly has avoided a major ICE operation. Publicly, their support for ICE so they can get votes, and privately, they're acknowledging and even taking action to undo what ICE is doing. The system we are working with is broken, and it cannot be trusted. We have to protect ourselves. The resolution we demand, and have been since October 2025, is a page and a half long at best. There is no good reason to avoid this anymore, especially as we continue to see people murdered and lives destroyed.
Debbie McGill, King of Prussia. For tonight, I had one comment, but I'll save that for next month. My other comment is that just to back up what Vicki just said, a few days ago, there was someone detained by ICE in Bridgeport. Coincidentally, several days before this person was detained, they were involved in a traffic stop. I can't say for sure, but that makes me very suspicious about how that coincidence occurred. And that is why, once again, I will just say that, you know, that where words, unenforceable words, aren't enough, because they have been spoken in Bridgeport as well. That's all for tonight. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to come forward for public comment? OK, Okay, hearing and seeing none, we're in a position to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.